Crazy.
I'll just read one poem, short one, and I started writing poetry just by accident because I walked into a wrong classroom. I was in New York and I was supposed to take an English lit class. Then I walked in and Louis Walsh was there. Anyone knows Louis Walsh? And he looked just like hair like this and two shirts, both like buttoned wrong. And his snout is flying. He had a cold and borrowing tissue from a student and to wipe his nose. And I just thought, very interesting. So I sat down and wrote my first story. And then the second, I said, I'll give it one more try. And then I wrote my second story. And Lou said, you should start writing a novel. So it's like lightning hitting me. He said, this is what I wanted to do all my life, right? Then Lewis introduced me to Allen Ginsberg to be his translator for the first poetry festival I just told you about. So just one thing after another. And so I broke I was about to get married to MBA, like a business school professor at McGill University who convinced me to take my GMAT twice. Actually, the first time I failed miserably. And I had to take it one more time. And actually got into McGill Business School. I was about to take, to become a millionaire, but I broke everything. I stayed and be a starving artist and hang out with Allen Ginsberg, and here I am.
Rough life.
I know. And when I started writing poetry, I also discovered like my classmate from Beijing University was married to Helen Vandeler's son. And she was actually a poet, and now she's a lawyer, and actually she's a deputy attorney of Los Angeles, actually, you know, and our deputy judge, right, and for LA. So she is actually a poet, and she actually published poetry in Chinese. Then she wanted to translate her poetry into English, and Helen Vandeler told her, well, you can write, people maybe can write prose work in second language, but not poetry. And when I heard that, and I wrote this poem called Syntax, she walks to the table. She walked to table. She is walking to the table. She walked to table now. What difference does it make? What difference it make? In nature, no completeness, no language really complete sentence. Language, like beast, runs best when free, naked. Thank you.
I'm grateful to be here, grateful for the venue for letting us do this thing here, grateful for Mark and his efforts in setting it up, and grateful to read with these folks. And Wang Ping is a fearless person. If you know a little bit about her story, and read a little bit about her work, I think you get a sense of it from hearing tonight. But her courage is really inspiring, and I'm very grateful to read with her. Well, to some degree, you have to be in this culture to be a poet. So if anyone knows the story of how starlings got into this country, this will make more sense to you. A guy who wanted all the birds referenced in Shakespeare released them in Central Park a couple of times, I think. And non-native species, they've wreaked their havoc. But despite that, this is a love poem for them and for my wife, who's sitting here taking this all in. And it's called Periphery. I think she's heard this once or twice before. So here it is, and thanks for listening. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being a great audience. Periphery. We would fly right out of Shakespeare's pages and find a bath in which to go into a trance, maybe ant ourselves with a caught ant, or a splash of vodka, vinegar, speaking the name Mortimer. Metallic are we, tearing about the sky above the city that feeds us, splitting in two, connecting by a field or a membrane or a star force. Vulgar, our last name, but darkening the sky like an avian motorway, funnel cloud above, looking for bugs, roosting in a masculine perch, shutting off the females and adolescents. Zinnias tower above us. Unafraid of the hawk or eagle in bunches would scare Hitchcock shitless. Here we are, only understanding each other, Borg-like in our power of the collective. With a taste for cherries and daytime dragonflies, becoming one with that celestial tone we learn to mimic, and the needles that feed us and fix our flow help us to remember and celebrate. Take a picture of this, she chirps, and the flock advances, escapes, goes as far west as possible into direction of ancestors. Is it they making our cues? Is it we tuned into a field that's occupied by someone from another dimension? Is it black cod barely cooked through, or goat cheese followed by sake? Are we remembering all this? Or is it another inspired improvisation? This city of our heart does grow smaller, diminishes before our peripheral vision, becomes a blur when I focus on your skin or your exotic plumage. And I grow into you, protect you from every predator, beckon prophets, bird baths, and real estate angels, and somehow, we never collide. Thanks.
I'm going to close with a piece that actually closes this book. I do have books here for sale for $10 if anybody would like to purchase one. I'll be sitting right over here.
Able to sign.
Yes, I have a pen, too. Anyway, the piece is called Outside's Gold, 4D Windows, 5D Sun. Brain Center, Ego, Pineal Gland and Pituitary Body, Contracting. I stood, staring from the sidewalk. I had to enter my new home, the open eight-wheeled pyramid ship of white light, the philosopher's stone, the base of Muse's spine, guarded by the evolved devil at the top of my head. The ship, my open third eye, looking inward to open my pineal gland, had a south-facing window's golden sun outside, dripping from the top of the pyramid and into it and into my right brain to a million or so left brain beach sunsets on the shores of an inner earth with a quicksilver moon sea. I could see shrubs with bits of broken glass on the branches. An alien strummed a guitar in the left-brained living room where the eastern window had been smashed. An acoustic guitar. His hands were bloody and the room was full of dust, but he played and sang beautifully about how rare real poets are and how funny it is when they're defeated by their muses. I thought that I'd have to risk cutting my hands by climbing through the window frame to get onto the pyramid ship. So I was surprised when he opened the shadow of the eight-wheeled door and stared at me for a moment, where I stood, staring at him from the sidewalk. He motioned for me to come in. It was pretty dark now, and it was getting harder to tell if the musician was really there. As I slowly reached the front steps and then climbed them toward the open door. Sure enough, by the time I was inside, he was gone. Then I realized that every time I inhaled, there was a sunset, and every time I exhaled, there was a sunrise. I remembered that the alien I'd seen a few moments ago strumming a guitar in the opening where a window once was and singing with a voice as crystalline as a bird was getting too real for my conditioned mind and was too skeletal to have been a human person. But now at least my third eyesight was looking inward and I'd never have to leave my home again. Thanks so much.
I'm going to close with the shortest short story that I've ever written. It is 6 words long, and it is a possibility of what the future might hold for mankind. What were they called again, Grandfather? Hands. Thank you.
All right, everyone, once again, keep putting your hands together for everybody. Really appreciate absolutely everything. Dave, Paul, Mark, and Wyatt Ace.
Johnny,
thank you very much. Really appreciate all your time and efforts. Mark will be over here signing books, apparently, and anyone else as well.
$10
as well. Yes. Thank you, everyone.